Lord, as we reflect on the gift of your word, open our hearts and minds to hear your words to us. The first time I became aware of the story of Pentecost was in my grandmother's church in the south of France when I was a little girl. It's a long time ago, of course, but I can still vividly recall my sense of excitement and wonder, as I could relate very well to that violent wind that is mentioned in today's text. Because when one of these thunderstorms for which that region is famous was brewing, imagine awe, the huge winds shaking the tree to explode after the lightning. It was scary, but mightily exciting. I just loved it. I could also relate to the tongues of fire because I had heard from several members of my family amazing stories of shining balls of fire coming into houses during a thunderstorm, floating around for a few seconds, and leaving as quickly as they came in. A fairly rare but real weather phenomenon, which I learned much later, was called ball lightning. What I could not relate to, though, and which amazed me more than anything else, was what happened afterwards. The disciples being suddenly able to speak all these foreign languages, just like that, without any effort. I thought, wow, how lucky and fantastic is that? It might be that it was there and then that my interest in languages was born. But I can tell you that many times in the years that followed, when I was hard at work on Spanish grammar or irregular English verbs, I wished the Holy Spirit would come and visit me like he visited the disciples, but it never happened. Pentecost, however, remains for me one of the most exciting celebrations in the church calendar, and for many of you, I'm sure. Not only because of these amazing and somewhat mysterious happenings, but for its greater meaning. Now, we know what that meaning is, don't we? It's about the coming of the Holy Spirit, of course. But to paraphrase what the people said at the first Pentecost, what does this mean? We are so accustomed to thinking of Pentecost as a Christian feast that we forget that it was first a very important Jewish festival that existed many centuries before the church inherited it. Pentecost was the festival of Shavuot, which means weeks in Hebrew, because it celebrated 7 weeks or 50 days after Passover, hence the Greek word Pentecost, made of pente, 50, and kostos, days. Shavuot commemorated the giving of Torah at Mount Sinai, the Mosaic law that would transform the ragtag band of slaves that had fled from Egypt into a new community bound to God by a reciprocal covenant. But what is most interesting, though, is that wind, fire, and speech were also associated with God's giving the law at Mount Sinai, as according to Jewish tradition, a violent wind preceded the great flame which came from heaven and divided into 70 parts, one for each nation of the world, and all heard and understood the law in their own language. So what Luke is suggesting by repeating these highly symbolic occurrences is that Pentecost is the beginning of a new covenant for a new community of all nations. He's also indicating that the coming of the Holy Spirit of God on all nations is as epoch-making as the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And this is reinforced when he shows us at the beginning of both the ministries of Jesus in his gospel and of Peter in Acts, how deeply rooted that new covenant is in the old. Standing in the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus cannot start his ministry without turning to Isaiah 61, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Similarly, as we heard, Peter cannot explain what Pentecost means without turning to the prophet Joel. "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. You old men will dream dreams. On my servants as well, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Have you noticed how that radical new community about which Joel speaks, and which is starting to take shape among the earliest Christians, how remarkably inclusive it is striving to be? It's gender inclusive, it's class inclusive, servants are included, it's age inclusive, and it's ethnically inclusive too, as it is for all nations. This is quite amazing, to thrive to create such an egalitarian community in first century Palestine, which was characterized by a highly hierarchical model of society, where to get the maximum honor was a key goal for everybody. So this is what the power of the Holy Spirit can do: transcend difference. After the Holy Spirit invaded the space in those mysterious prophetic ways, a crowd of thousands began to gather. Jews from the diaspora, Greeks, Arabs, Romans, and Africans. Each of them realized that they could belong as much as the next man, because their differences were not erased, but accepted and even celebrated through their own language. In other words, while they were allowed to remain who they were with their rich cultural differences, it was that experience of the Holy Spirit as a communal experience that empowered them to embrace a new direction and made them ready to proclaim the good news. This surely has to be relevant and meaningful for us as a community of faith in the difficult circumstances we are living through at the moment. How can we allow the Spirit of God to move among us, to reach out, and to empower us to still be witnesses? Because I think that what we are experiencing at the moment, a sense of loss for the good times, anxiety, fear, apathy, a lack of direction, is not vastly different from what the disciples were experiencing during these 50 days after Passover. Yes, Jesus had been raised from the dead, but they didn't do much about it so far, and they had no idea how to talk about it. They felt lost and apathetic and fearful, and they withdrew inside. Together, I grant you, which is much better than our present isolation. But still, they certainly did not reach out as witness. But then suddenly, Peter finds his voice and talks publicly. Something made the very same man who denied Jesus three times fled, stand before thousands, open his mouth and testify about Jesus. What could cause someone to do that? Only the Spirit of God, who gave Peter and all those with him power, courage, and boldness. In a matter of moments, everything was altered, and there would be no going back. Obviously, I'm not at the pubs or on the public places, but with the inspiration of the Spirit of God, we might find new ways to be a more confident and bold community of witnesses, keeping in mind the image of a once frightened and depressed group of disciples becoming confident and bold prophets of God's word and messengers of the good news. At Pentecost, we see a new creation evolving in front of our very eyes. As in the book of Genesis, where God creates with language, at Pentecost, he's equipping the disciples through the beauty of multiple languages to communicate with all nations in order to bring these people to him and create new beginnings. This again is very relevant to us, as I wonder if, like me, you heard a lot of people talking about the after lockdown, when the opportunity will be given to us to do things anew, differently, and not to go back to our old ways. Maybe they are simply wishing the Spirit of Pentecost, the energy of God, to renew and inspire us all. Amen to that.